Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. A new Gallup poll says fewer and fewer U.S. adults are drinking alcohol, and for the first time, a majority of Americans believe that even moderate drinking is bad for your health. Do these trends hold true here in Wisconsin? We'll talk about the latest polling data on alcohol consumption with Maureen Buzalaki, who's director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Just a quick note, at noon, the weather guys Steve Ackerman and John Martin return to talk about the recent flooding in the Milwaukee area, other summer conditions, and U.S. climate change reports. But first, let's talk about alcohol. Do you drink more or less alcohol than you used to? If you're drinking less, tell us why, perhaps. Do you think there's a healthy amount of drinking? Or is there no amount healthy? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Maureen Buzalaki, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's first, before we can get started on this, the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You're the head person there. Tell us about that organization.
Yes, so I'm at MCW in the Comprehensive Injury Center, where we work to reduce injury of all kinds. And alcohol is kind of fuel for that. We find motor vehicle crashes, drownings, railroad crossings, suicide, homicides, and of course, a lot of disease issues in terms of injury and disability that can happen when people are over-consuming.
Wondering about this Gallup poll, I think it was, 54%?
Mm-hmm.
Of you talk about the poll. What are the findings?
Yeah, so this is a national poll by Gallup. I think folks are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it does show for 3 years in a row a decrease in self-reported drinking. And this is good news. You know, people are starting to understand that, you know, alcohol is a carcinogen and that, you know, drinking can cause harm, you know, from diseases that can be, you know, by continuing to drink on a regular basis, that can be a real issue, including heart disease, stroke, cancer,
those liver.
Kinds of, yeah, liver disease is a big one. But it's also, there's more what we call acute deaths that happen in terms of alcohol poisoning, crashes, injuries, homicides, suicides, those types of issues as well. And in that combination, it's really, you know, most people aren't probably consuming that much. But in Wisconsin, we tend to consume more than the national average, actually significantly more. So our major focus is on what we call overconsumption or excessive alcohol use. So that's binge drinking, which is 4 to 5 drinks in a single session by men or women. And that means you're at 0.08 for your blood alcohol content. So you're not safe to drive. Then you've got underage drinking, drinking while pregnant, and heavy drinking, which is 1 to 2 a day. So the challenge is figuring out what is that amount. Now, your oncologists and other physicians, especially those treating liver disease, say no amount is safe. The research that has come out has shown that drinking even less than what I just talked about,
yeah,
is a really good idea. And, you know, really relooking and understanding what the research shows. So it's probably less than 1 drink a day for women and 1 drink or less for men. And try to avoid daily drinking.
I was thinking back to a friend's dad. I didn't drink. He wouldn't go out and drink, but every night he drank a pretty good sized glass of wine. And he said, well, the doctor said that was good for me.
Right. That's the myth of the red wine study. So that has shown that, I should start at the beginning. a study came out said that drinking red wine was good for your heart. But that's actually not the case. Like I said, alcohol is a carcinogen, and we find that daily drinking is especially bad for our body. And so years later, that report has been debunked. But that's what people thought. The other piece you mentioned is a large glass of wine.
Yeah, it was a pretty good size. I was a kid. I remember, like, oh, it's a pretty good sized glass.
And serving size is really important, too. So it should be 5 ounces in terms of a serving of wine. So if he's drinking more than that, that's more than one serving a day, right? The same thing's true, like, with beer, because we have all this kind of more potent beer that's around. Porters and stouts often, have higher alcohol by volume. And that's an issue, that you may think you're drinking one, but you're actually drinking two. And then the kind of Elko Pops or those energy drinks, you drink one Four Loko, it has 5 alcohol drinks in one can. So that's
those cans aren't all that big, are they? I mean, that's...
They're bigger,
yeah.
But it's not as
tall
much
and slender.
Liquid, right? And you drink it kind of fast because it's kind of sweet. And that's a real issue in terms of, suddenly you're already at the 0.08 blood alcohol content.
Ellie in Wausau has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Great. Well, when I heard this topic, it's so relevant to me and my family right now. We live in Wisconsin part-time. We're snowbirds, but I grew up here. And of course, drinking culture was Wisconsin drinking culture. It is what it is. And it is not like this in any other state I've ever been to. And we are currently in the market for a new home. So we went to a very popular Northwoods Lake, and which we have friends who have homes there. And we went pontooning one day, and we went to a bar because everyone bar hops. And we were looking, and we stopped at a bar, and there was a band. And it was amazing to me how many 30, 40, and 50-year-olds, people in my age bracket, who were not only day drinking tipsy, but they were like smashed drunk, not standing up.
I'm getting the picture here, Ellie. She's making the point that the alcohol culture it seems to be ingrained in Wisconsin.
It sure is, Larry. And what we see is this divergence. So we see this larger trend of people drinking less, but we also see other populations drinking as much, if not more. So while our numbers are going down overall, we definitely see people that are, binge drinking, and even we had to make a new category, high-risk drinking, where they're drinking almost double that binge rate. So they're having 8, 9, or 10 drinks in a single.
At a time?
Yes. I don't know how many hours, but, and that's a real problem because your body does not metabolize alcohol that fast. So what she's describing, I think, is something that we do see in Wisconsin, and that it's socially acceptable at some level to get that intoxicated.
One piece of news one item from the research that I noted was that among younger people, quite younger people, they're not as inclined to drink or drink as much. And is that correct? And if so, why is that correct?
So our underage drinking and young adult drinking numbers are in decline. However, we're seeing much higher rates of young women and girls drinking than we have in the past. So they're starting to bridge the gap between you know, young men and, you know, men overall. So that's quite a disturbing trend. Again, overall, yes, it is going down. But then again, we have this segment of the population that's drinking and drinking more than ever before. We're seeing young women needing liver transplants in their late 20s and 30s. And we never used to see that at that age. You know, that would come later in life. So we are seeing some disturbing trends, even though, like I said, the overall view is changing.
Maureen Bozalaki, our guest today, is director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Questions for her as we talk alcohol use among our population? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Our weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, are with us at noon today to talk about climate and weather. Right now, though, we're taking a look at alcohol use in our state and the country, for that matter, with our guest Maureen Bozalaki, director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Joyce in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Joyce.
Hello. This is a comment for Maureen, actually. I've been very concerned that our local grocery store suddenly has alcohol islands throughout the store, and it almost normalizes the alcohol as part of grocery shopping. And at one time, liquor sold at a grocery store would be in a corner, and people would have to actually go there to get their liquor. This is bringing the liquor out into the general shopping experience. And I'd like to know if this is something that we are going to have to tolerate, or are there ways in which we can get grocery stores back to being groceries and liquor stores? Liquor sections idealized elsewhere.
Interesting. Thanks, Joyce. Comment, Maureen?
Yes. So that's a local decision that's being made. I'm not sure if you're in the city of Madison or, you know, somewhere else in the area, but local alcohol licensing committees and local city councils, village boards, or town boards make that decision as to where alcohol can be sold. And so we recommend, just as you suggest, that you have a separate entrance where you sell the liquor, making sure that you're not getting young people. You don't certainly want anyone to steal anything, you know, and have a secure location for that. That has changed in many communities, not all. And that's something that you can talk to your, you know, local alders or, you know, your town board or village about wanting to change that. That is certainly possible. And we'd be happy to talk to you about it. So you can look us up on the web and we'd be happy to connect.
Joyce, thank you very much for calling. So that's part of your, I mean, your goal is to decrease alcohol consumption, right?
Yes.
That's what you want to do. So, and so you offer solutions or try to offer solutions to help mitigate this. And you just named one.
Yes. So we offer training, technical assistance. We also post, you know, research, both national, state research, research done by our division in order to help inform the public. So anyone who has questions regarding an alcohol policy or things that they could do to reduce alcohol use, we're happy to, you know, sort of sort through the data and share what is evidence-based and what evidence-informed. So what is actually working to reduce excessive alcohol consumption?
We have several emails here, too. Bill in Oregon emailed how do you estimate social desirability bias in this kind of survey, and how does Wisconsin compare to the rest of the country? Aside from people who actually don't drink, Bill says they know very few people who report their drinking accurately.
So self-reporting is always an issue, certainly, and that is definitely true. So I think one of the things about, Gallup is that we're looking at overtime, so the numbers may not be exactly accurate on the one hand in terms of the self-reporting bias, but we see what we are seeing are trends. And so people are answering differently than they have in the past. And I think that's an important point to take home here.
Yeah, I think my doctor said he doubles. If somebody says, oh, they drink, they'll have three or four a week, he, in his mind, doubles that.
I've heard that from physicians as well.
You have? Okay. Ellie in Madison emailed to ask, how does the decline in alcohol use, the decline is may not be as real as it kind of first appears, but how does that decline relate to the increase in the use of THC products? Can you talk about the regulations around that and the role of the Wisconsin Tavern League?
So, great question. What Gallup found is that it does not appear to be caused by people shifting to other substances, specifically marijuana use. So that has been fairly steady over the last 4 years and doesn't appear to be a factor whether or not people are choosing alcohol. So that's according to Gallup. So I hope that that's helpful. The Tavern League, of course, sells alcohol. We're also seeing lots of changes in terms of offering non-alcoholic beverages over time. So I think, there's areas where there's support in terms of making sure people are not driving while they're intoxicated, that we see with our retailers, including, restaurants and bars. And I think that's important.
Michael emailed to ask, should alcohol products have a health warning on the container like health warnings on cigarettes?
So the Surgeon General in January suggested that there should be a health warning on cancer. A lot of people are not aware of, drinking and the cancer link between 7 different types of cancer. And so that was suggested, and I am aware of folks across the nation that are working to see that happen. So I think labeling would be very helpful for people to understand right at point of sale, what the risks are. Because one of the things we do see with people who drink at higher levels is that they don't think it's as risky. And so that's one of the pieces, is to help make sure people understand what they're stepping into.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen, I watch TV, but I'm not watching it every minute of the day for sure. But I don't see as many. I can't remember seeing ads or public service announcements of that nature lately about drinking very much. Is there anything? What on a sort of a large scale, what can be done?
So at the federal level, of course, there can be regulations put in place about advertising. That is a voluntary piece right now in the industry, in the alcohol industry. And we do find problems with that. A few years ago with school supplies, we found emoji balls with vodka in them. There's still a lot that goes on. Product placement is really important. When you see liquor right next to the candy, go to a gas station, you see lots of alcohol and liquor and beer advertising as one piece. And so that is still very much an issue. You also see it a lot in movies, right?
Yeah.
Where you're seeing that. So it, again, is normalizing a drinking culture. But I have to say, I was at a gas station yesterday, and they had no liquor displays outside their windows. And I went in and complimented them on that. So that was, something I had not expected. And that's great.
Andrea emailed that one grocery store offers self-checkout lanes in their liquor section and wonders, wouldn't that make it easier for anybody underage to buy alcohol?
Yes, that would be a concern. We require face-to-face sales in the state of Wisconsin, so that would be something we'd love to follow up on because unless there's some ability to do age verification, that's not really supposed to happen with the self-serve.
I noticed that as well in a local grocery store. It's actually a new thing for that grocery store. So there are other people there to purchase, to take your money and so forth, but I noticed that there are several spots where anybody can just go in. Well, I don't know anybody, but people can go in and check it out on their own.
It could be that the store has some sort of protocol in place mm-hmm. that I'm not
sure.
aware of.
Yeah. It makes sense. So in the last minute or so here, what can people do? How can you be of help? And then what should people do?
So please visit our website. It's at the Medical College of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project, or WISAPP, WISAPP. And you can find us and email us, ask us questions. The other piece is don't drink every day. Mm-hmm. If you're going out, drink one less. You know, just mm-hmm. reduce how much that you're drinking. And I love all the questions about policy. Happy to work with people on changing some of those policies so that we have a safer environment. We still have higher rates of underage drinking than the rest of the nation, and that is still a concern.
It is indeed. And so the work that you're doing can be done. It's just not the individual alone, but the way individuals can work community-wide too.
Right.
That's the kind of support that you can provide for them.
Yes, we want to change the policy and the environment so it makes it much easier for people, to not drink as much.
Well, you got a big goal there. You've got a large task on your hand in Wisconsin. I think I remember reading once where we lead the nation in per capita consumption of brandy.
I believe that's still true.
It's still true. Okay. Well, Maureen, thanks so much for being with us. It went by quickly. We'll get you back and we'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Maureen Buzalaki, director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. You can type that into a search engine. It's going to pop up. Or just go to the Medical College of Wisconsin. You'll find the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project mentioned there. Click on it if you're interested in doing some work on your own or in your community to help with this issue. Coming up, our weather guys are here to talk about extreme weather events. We don't have any of those in Wisconsin, do we? Well, we're all we all know that's not true. That's next. We'll talk about those events and why they're becoming more common. I'm Larry Mueller.